Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm just in here with Lucy Hammond in the Macmillan Hall.
Is that what it's called? Macmillan Gallery.
Macmillan Gallery. Cool. Here in the DPAG, we're just going to start our interview. How are you today, Lucy?
Very well, thank you.
Glad to hear it. So for this new exhibit, Chaptered, it says on the website that it's got Ralph Hortere, Madam and the Bastard, Jeffrey Harris and Fiona Connor. Are these the sole artists of the exhibition?
They are. It's got essentially four artworks or groups of artworks by a single artist in the exhibition, and all of them are works that are largely drawn out of our permanent collection.
And on the website, it mentions that there are four practices coming together and on display in Chaptered. Could you speak on these four practices?
Sure. Yeah, so the exhibition has, you're right, four artistic practices included. Ralph Hortere's work, which is titled February, May and the Birds of Ice, The Moon Drowns in Its Voices of Water, which is a very large-scale multi-panel painting on canvas from 1970. And then that sits alongside a very large-scale triptych by Jeffrey Harris, also a painter, which has been displayed in this gallery for the first time, despite being work from the mid-1980s. It's in our collection on long-term loan at present. And then the work by Madam the Bastard, which is called Madam Descending the Staircase, which is a six-panel photographic installation, which came into our collection relatively recently. And those three practices are sitting alongside Fiona Connor, who's a contemporary artist from Aotearoa who lives in LA, and a series of community notice boards, which are a recent series of her work made between 2015 and 2022, which are recreations of community bulletin boards that she's encountered at particular moments in time in her life in LA. Those are the works in the exhibition. And the exhibition is designed to be quite an open experience for visitors to encounter these works, all of which are large scale and significant within the artist's practices, and sort of meet them in a very open way, if that makes sense. There's not a very structured way of encountering the exhibition.
As the show description on the DPAG website mentions, these works speak to each other in a cryptic dialogue, offering fragments of narrative. As you've been familiar with the DPAG collection for 9 years, how did you pick up on this narrative and hidden conversation between these works?
That's a great question. One of the things, I suppose, that we have access to often with any given work in the collection is a whole myriad of information that may or may not be obvious, and may or may not be information that sort of comes to the public when the works go on display in various different contexts. So we get all the backstory and research that comes with an artwork at any given time. And I suppose what I was interested in was thinking about that, how works sort of deliver you slices of life or parts of stories, and how we might make an exhibition that unlocked little bits of hidden information, brought that forward, or picked up on something that we know about those works and allowed people to kind of piece together their own understandings of what they were seeing. So it's sort of like an exhibition. When I was thinking about the selection of the works, I was sort of thinking about Pick-a-Path novels, you know, which were huge when I was at primary school, in that giving the viewer or the audience or the reader the sort of autonomy to kind of find their own way through an experience, and that can be configured and reconfigured in many different ways. And so then that sort of started following works that maybe had multiple parts, maybe had a very specific moment of generation that might be diaristic or might come out of a collaboration, or might in one case be driven through a sort of encounter with found material. The viewer can kind of come to those works and sort of start the joyful process of thinking through why they're all together, why these disparate group of things are together, and what creative and productive space they can find for themselves in the room. Yeah.
So when you began researching for this, for Chaptered, what was the approach you took when you began looking for the pieces that composed the exhibit? Did you know that you wanted to use large-scale works?
Yeah, it's sort of the process always evolves to some extent. There were works, I suppose, that, like Ralph Hortere's work, became a bit of a starting point. It's a work that people here are quite familiar with. It's a major work in our collection. It's significant. I knew it had a significant provenance, and I was intrigued by its title. And so its title is a full poem written by Bill Manhire. And so I got in touch with Bill Manhire, who's a poet, a really important New Zealand poet, and was a good friend of Ralph's, and just started unravelling the story that might come out of understanding the decision by Ralph to title his work in such a way, and what that meant to Bill, and what that meant to Ralph, and how that might have happened. And that sort of took me down a path of understanding sort of a lovely, rich story of two people in Otipoti at the end of the 60s, you know, in the art and literary communities, and how they exchanged ideas of their own works, and how Bill's words ended up as the title of Ralph's painting, and sort of, I suppose that was that led me to thinking about the kind of rich context that any individual artwork has the capacity to unlock. And then I started looking for other works that could do that in different ways that might not be expected necessarily to be in the gallery together.
Broadly, hidden connections between artworks and the artworks and their histories with other exterior texts, like the poem, was kind of a massive narrative appeal to you.
Yeah, I think that's the power of art, is to give us a glimpse into a particular moment in any given artist's life where they've made a set of decisions that have culminated in a work that then goes out into the world and has its own agency. And I think in different ways, all the works in the exhibition kind of can prompt people into thinking about that. And then, you know, that becomes a reflective exercise and also an opportunity to have a slow and rich encounter with art, which I think is something that's critical about art galleries, actually, is that at times one of the greatest sort of gifts you can give people is a slow and contemplative space in order to think about creativity and the power and potential of the things that we make and leave in the world. And that's the experience, I suppose, that I'm trying to create in the gallery for people.
How obvious is this narrative that, you know, kind of underlines chapter? And would you characterize it as linear or non-linear?
I think it's less of a narrative, an exhibition narrative, and more of a prompt to audiences to come to the gallery and try and sort of, I suppose, find their own story within the things that are surrounding them. And people come to that experience in different ways. But as soon as you're standing in front of something and you're, whilst we've given our audiences lots of information and lots of things that, you know, I've found interesting on my journey of thinking about the works in the exhibition, there's also a lot of space in chaptered as an experience for people to try and figure out what they're looking at and what they can bring to it. So I would say, in answer to your question, it's not linear at all. and it's sort of asking people to kind of figure out what they make of it, which sounds like a simple thing, but I think, and it's like a story, it's like finding your own path through a story, is you you never quite know where you're going to end up and where that work might take you. And I think that's what's exciting about exhibition making like this.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining me here this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.